This audio production is presented by Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Ocala, Florida.
Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is God's word.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, send your spirit now. Move in our hearts. Open your word to us. Send your perfect love and cast out fear. Remind us of the ways you have helped us and brought us to where we are today. In Christ's name, amen. When I was a kid, our country had a special group of soldiers that had been compiled specifically to fight terrorism, and they were incredibly effective. I wish they were here now. We tried to revive it, but it didn't work. You may know who I'm talking about. They fight for freedom wherever there's trouble, because G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe shaped my world. I didn't realize as a kid that that's what they existed for. If you go back and listen to the theme song, their express purpose is to defeat terrorism. As a kid, I just thought it was cool. Post-9/11 terrorism has a different ring in my mind. Terrorism works because of fear. You have no control and you feel no control, and it can come get you at any time. Isaac Watts is a great hymn writer. He wrote Joy to the World and a bunch of other songs we sing, but he also wrote a hymn based off of this psalm, Psalm 124. And he wrote it very specifically. He was a British man, and he wrote it for a part of British history. And so his song that he wrote is entitled A Song to Remember the 5th of November. Many of you know that phrase, remember the 5th of November. It's the Guy Fawkes revolt, the gunpowder revolt, where Guy Fawkes and a group of men had decided they were going to blow up Parliament. And November the 4th at midnight, Guy Fawkes was found under Parliament with 36 barrels of dynamite that he was protecting to blow up Parliament and the King the next day. They found it, and they stopped him. Terrorism is nothing new. It's nothing new to God's people. Isaac Watts thought this song really encapsulated God's protection of his country at that time. Reality is that we face terror, whether it's terrorism in the world, whether it's the fears that we have, the fears that people seem to swell up around us, the fears of the ways that we've been hurt, the terror that we have felt in our own lives, shape our heart. And this psalm is written to speak into that, to clear our focus, if you will. One of the things of the way terror and fear works in our hearts is that it blinds you. One of the ways that terrorism works is that it sets you off balance and gets you not thinking clearly, not acting clearly. And what this psalm does is it counteracts that by giving you a clear mind, a clear understanding of who holds you in the midst of fear. Scotty Smith talks about how we need to get our hearts on rhythm and to the melody and the lyric of the gospel. When you read Paul's letters, you get the lyric of the gospel that you are justified by faith, not by your own works. When you hear Jesus preach the gospel and you hear that invitation to repent and believe, you hear the lyric of the gospel. When we sing the Psalms, we feel the rhythm. We feel that pace. And one of the ways this psalm sets the pace, it works as a metronome for the soul, just ticking out time, keeping you on pace, reminding you what God is doing by saying, look back, look at history, trying to help you recall his faithfulness, trying to help you get back onto the beat of God. That's what he's doing here in this psalm. It's a psalm of David. Again, we're working through these psalms of ascents, these journey psalms, these pilgrim songs. But this is one that David himself wrote and was sung by God's people as they journeyed to Jerusalem for various festivals and holidays. A lot of people want to say it was connected to 2 Samuel chapter 5. You could probably connect it to anywhere in David's life. But in 2 Samuel chapter 5 is when David is anointed as king and he faces his first battle against the Philistines as king. And he goes to God and says, God, should we go to war with him? And God says, yes, but don't go that way. And he corrects them and God wins the day for them. And people want to say that this is probably the moment, but we don't really know for sure. I like to think it's attached to 2 Samuel 8. If you look at 2 Samuel 8, you'll see just this list. The title in my Bible is David's Victories. And it goes through and says, David defeated these people. David defeated these people. David defeated these people. And he faced this king and destroyed this king. And it just sounds like David was whooping tail, right? I think that's where this psalm came from. I think it came out of victories that David faced. And I think it was David reminding himself and his people, we just had a victory, but it was the Lord who brought the victory. It is David reminding himself of the words he said to Goliath. I love David's speech to Goliath. When Goliath says, what are you, a dog coming at me with sticks? And David just rails on him. But in his rant, he says, I come at you with all these things. You come at me with those things. But I come in the name of the Lord. And it is his battle. And he will have victory. And I think David has to remind himself of that all the time. Because David faces victory after victory when he goes to battle. David is a mighty warrior. And I think somewhat as he writes this psalm, he is reminding himself, and all that I went through and all the victories we had, it was the Lord who brought me through. I picture this as a campfire song, not like Kumbaya kind of campfire song. But I picture David and his mighty men after a battle, after their swords are clean, when everything's put away, and they rest by the fire and they remember that the Lord brought them through. Do you remember David's mighty men? The list of these men and their feats. It's a couple of places in Scripture. One of the places I want you to turn to, it's 1 Chronicles, one of your favorite books, 1 Chronicles 11. 1 Chronicles 11 recounts David's mighty men, these 37 men who went to battle with David, who were like David and had these enormous feats of their own, not big feet. They did great things. They were men who went to battle. He had three who were chief, who were the ones that were the most respected of all of them. And then if you turn in 1 Chronicles 11, verse 22 tells us about Benaniah. Benaniah was not one of the best. He was good, but he wasn't one of the top three, and he certainly wasn't David. And this is what the Bible says about Benaniah. Verse 22, Benaniah, the son of Jedidiah, a valiant man of Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down two heroes of Moab. He also went down and struck down a lion in a pit on a day when snow had fallen. In other words, he found a lion in the lion's home and killed him. He went after the lion, not waited for the lion to come for him. He struck down an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall. Yes, David wasn't the only one who struck down a giant. Benaniah. He went to the Egyptian. The Egyptian had in his hand a spear like a weaver's beam. But Benaniah went down to him with a staff and snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. That guy sitting around the fire, I don't want to compare to that guy. Benaniah, do you want to get in a fight with Benaniah? No. The man who goes down and takes the spear from the giant and kills him with his own spear. David went with a sling and went long distance. Benaniah went up close and took him down, right? Men like this, again, Benaniah wasn't the biggest, baddest mamma jamma in the bunch. And men like Benaniah are sitting around the fire, sitting there singing these songs of, oh yeah, it was the Lord. It was the Lord who took us through. Before this, it tells the story of another one of David's valiant men who was surrounded in a field and the Philistines were coming on him and he stood his ground and slaughtered every one of them. And it was the Lord who worked a great salvation that day. David writes this song for he and his people to remember that in the midst of their mighty deeds, it was the Lord who was working salvation. It was the Lord who was their help. When I picture these men, I think of guys who walk with their chest poked out and can do anything, and whatever they face, they're awesome. And my guess is they were really men who, in the midst of those battles, weren't just sitting there thinking, "Oh, this is awesome. This is, come on, bring me some more. I want to face some more." They probably weren't singing "Amazing Grace" in Hebrew in the back of their mind while they're fighting these guys. My guess is Benaniah, when he saw that giant, felt terror in his heart, and his heart was screaming out, oh God, help me, as he ran into the battle. My guess is each and every single one of these men, while they faced the fire, were begging for God to bring salvation. We went to a soccer game yesterday and saw one of Amy's cousins play soccer. She's 15, but we were watching the goalie and sitting there saying, that goalie just goes in head first every time. It's like, what goes on in her mind? You think she's thinking, oh no, don't kick it, don't kick it, don't kick it, and she just jumps on top of it? What's going on in her heart? What's going on in her mind? In my heart, in my mind, when I face terror, I'm screaming out. My guess is David and his mighty men were doing the same thing. We like to think they were cool and calm, but instead, I'm certain they were looking to the Lord to save them. And he did. The first question I think this psalm brings to mind is, do you remember the things that the Lord has brought you through? You may be in the midst of it today, and I'll tell you, this psalm is not written from the vantage point of the one who's in battle. Again, it's written from the vantage point after the battle, after the victory has won. So you may be sitting here and you may not find as much encouragement as you may find in other psalms, okay? They are there, but this morning it's for the ones who are out of the battle. And the challenge when we're out of the battle, when we're not being threatened with our life, the challenge is to remember that there was a time that we were threatened with our life. To remember those moments when the Lord redeemed you. I don't know about you, but I forget them all the time. My wife is not here. I think she went out for children's church. I don't even think she knows this, but when I was in high school, I was in a really bad wreck. I was a passenger. My friend pulled out in front of another car, and we got T-boned right on my side. Little Nissan 280 hit us in a little Jeep Cherokee. Everybody spinning around. I don't remember that. I don't know. 99.9999% of the time. But the Lord spared me through that. I forget about things that the Lord has spared me from all the time. My guess is you do too. So this psalm invites you to remember. What has the Lord taken you through? Think back of those nights when you and your spouse sat there arguing until the middle of the night because you couldn't figure out why both of you hated each other at that moment. Maybe that was last night and you don't want to look at it right now. Maybe it was 6 months ago and you can. What are those moments when you feared that your child wasn't going to make it through? I think of Mark and Bonnie right now and that little baby, and every time you get a little, you go, oh, what happened? That terror, that fear. I remember when Christopher, my five-year-old, had an allergic reaction, we thought, to peanuts. And I got to stab him with an EpiPen. That terror in my heart that when I'm sitting there eating a Reese's cup in front of him, I don't think about it at all. We forget the places that God has brought us through. We forget the fear. And the reality is, the thing that this psalm does so very well, I think, is that it looks at that moment and it doesn't say, as you're sitting by the fire, as you're remembering what he brought you through, don't forget it was really that bad. We have a tendency to downplay it at this moment, but I want you to remember, this psalm wants you to see, no, it was that bad. Look at what they have come through. Look at what David talks about having been through. The enemies who in their anger would swallow them whole. Not even need a bite. Their enemies are so large that David and his men were nothing but a breath. He talks about the flood, the torrent, the raging waters. This is not a day at the park, right? He talks about the flood they were in, being swept away, being taken up, feeling like the waters are going to go over their head. Do you know what that feels like? Do you remember what that feels like? To feel swept away, to feel powerless, to feel out of control. To feel like every time you go for a breath, death comes inside of you and you can't get it out. You don't know which way is up. Every which way you go, you try and pull yourself and all you do is fight for more. You think you see the way out and you think you find the way through and you hope that maybe you're done and then you get smacked up by that something else and you just don't know what's going on. The flood overwhelming you. David doesn't say, oh yeah, it was bad. But he got us through. He says, we were like prey in the teeth, but the Lord allowed us not to be devoured. We were a bird. I love this, the image he uses. We were a bird, not almost caught. We were a bird captured in the snare. We were caught. There was a YouTube video that was rampant probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. The battle at Cougar. You guys remember this one? It was the nature one. The little buffalo, right? The whole herd of buffalo, and there's a little buffalo calf. And these people are out on safari, and they catch this, and they video it, and it's awesome. You can go YouTube it right now if you want to. Wi-Fi password is a telephone number. It's awesome. Turn the volume down. This little water buffalo calf is going, and next thing you know, this herd of lionesses, not herd, but this group of lionesses comes up, and they are ready to eat. And they surround and they circle and they get the little calf by itself. And you're thinking, oh, he's done. And they get on him. And they start dragging him. And they drag him close to the water. And the next thing you know, from the water jumps a crocodile who decides he would like some of the water buffalo too. And so the little water buffalo calf is being held on by a crocodile who's being bitten on by lions. And you think, oh my goodness, everybody's going to die. And then out of nowhere, the water buffalo mama comes through and rocks a lion out. The crocodile goes back in the water. They chase the lions away. And somehow you just think, well, I guess the calf's dead, but the rest of the buffalo got through. And you just see this little calf just prancing away. That is what it's like to follow Jesus. It's not that you're just safe all the way and like, oh, there's a lion there. Let's go this way. The lion is on top of you, and while you're getting eaten, something else decides to take a bite. It really, really is that bad. It was that bad. Don't forget it was that. Do you remember? I know it's a cute story. And it's easy for me to try and bring levity to this. Don't let me undercut the depth of the pain that you've gone through. Okay? Remember how bad it really was. And do you know that the Lord brought you through that? Do you know that even if you didn't see it, He was the one that carried you through that? He brought you through. The psalmist invites us in the midst of that, remembering what we've been through, to see that the Lord was the one who helped. The Lord was our helper. And he helped because it was the help in the name of the Lord. And that's Bible language, right? The name of the Lord was where we found our help, David said. There's something very deeply associated with the name of the Lord that when in the Old Testament you hear this phrase, the name of the Lord, you have to be thinking the presence of the Lord. God tells his people, I want you to build my house in the place that I am going to set my name. It's where I'm going to be. My name is my presence. It's why in Numbers 6, when the priests gave the benediction over the people, they were setting his name on them. They were saying his presence is with you. My help is in the presence of the Lord, that he is with me. I picture the disciples in the boat, right? As they're sailing alone and Jesus is asleep in the boat and the storm comes, Mark says it well in Mark 4. I love Mark. It's short, but it's to the point, right? In Mark, the disciples look at Jesus and say so honestly, don't you even care that we're dying? In the midst of that, Jesus is with them. And they look at him and said, don't you care? Jesus stands up and speaks, peace be still. And it's quiet. We remember that he is the maker of the heavens and the earth. And I think a lot of people say it in a lot of different ways, but the beauty is that the winds and the waves still know the sound of his voice, they still know his name, and they still obey. All of his creation, which he made, he rules over so that when Jesus walked on this earth, he would tell demons to go away and they would. He looked at a dead man and said, come here, and he did. He spoke and had power. And he does the same for us. His help is in his presence. I'll remind you quite simply that David didn't have Jesus. When David wrote this, he didn't have this New Testament thing of the Son of God having walked on earth. David's faith was in remembering the stories that God had already done, knowing that he will prove himself true over and over again. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Do you remember what he's taken you through? Do you remember that he is the one that has taken you through it? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, remind us of how you have carried us through. Remind us that you are the one that has sustained us. You're the one that set us free from the snare. That we shouldn't expect a soft, cushy life with no fear. But instead, we know that you will meet us in the midst of it. That in your name, in your presence, we will find our help. In Christ's name, amen.